Blog Talk Radio.
Wolf Trap Orbits. Israelite Static Addicts. I pray some old side to totally got his son.
I should have conquered my fears while I'm trapped in this land of dope dealers and queers and yahoodas in captivity. Man, it ain't nobody out here that can handle me, because you dealing with a soldier. And I've been hustling ever since I was 9, but now I'm older. I guess somebody should have told ya that I'm waking people's up as if they smell of Folgers. It's the lamentations of a Hebrew. I be young, yes, we out. Man, I'm destined to live long and prosperous. And ain't nobody out here that is stopping us. We be them lions of Yehuda, disrespect me, we shoot you. We got 100 good rounds of scripture, and what we shooting at just guaranteed to hit ya. The royal Israelites better come take a picture. Get written as Babylon, ain't nobody gonna miss ya.
The Bible's the truth, and I'ma put my soul on.
Chapter 2 is all prophecy. I'ma roll with that and let you dabble on philosophies. warrior, yeah. Always putting work properly.
The Bible's the truth, and I'ma put my soul on it. Sign, stamp, and seal, put the soul on it. Got me confused once a year, I show on it. Pearly gate, streets of gold, that sound good, don't it? The Bible's the truth, and I'ma put my soul on it. Sign, stamp, and seal, put the soul on it. Got me confused once a year, I show on it. Pearly gate, streets of gold, that sound good, don't it?
Shalom, I'm doing great. Hallelujah. Hope everybody out there, our listeners, hopefully everybody's doing well. They're blessed. Well, they are blessed. Hopefully they realize it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Welcome again. We are the Israelite, Hebrew Israelite Nation elders. And we have a serious topic. Not saying the others aren't serious, but I know we could be speaking about the seasons, the coming seasons, solstice, and all of this witchery, Halloween, you know, Thanksgiving, you know, all the Christmas seasons and all of that. But, you know, we made videos on that, Elder. I mean, we made messages on that tape, so they could go back through the archives and scroll through that. That's a blessing. We're going to do something very current. Souls have been lost. Souls are going on into eternity. And the Bible says you have to snatch some of them out, just like you're snatching them out of the fire. So go back and listen to the tapes about the wickedness of the seasons, if you like. But right now we're going to try to prevent these souls from being snatched in the hell, snatched in the hellfire for eternity. Elder, we're going to go to church tonight. Yep, we're going to church. We're going to go right into church, but we're going to go in with something in our hands. We got keys in our hands, and we're going to unlock the chains that are binding our people to the slave master's religion. It's been far too long, so let them know that they're free indeed. It's just like that lion in the cage at the zoo. Let's say he's been there for 10 years, eating 3 square meals a day, but he can't go nowhere. So the prison is closed down, and the his keeper pulls the gate open, and the gate is open. Lion is free to go, but he's so used to staying there. He's so used to getting those 3 meals a day, you know, that bloody steak that he likes with all the fat around it, you know, the tasty. He likes it so much, and he's so comfortable. His situation is so convenient for him. He then got so used to it that he is not going to go past his mark, his demarcation point, where he's not going to test it. He's going to stay right there, and he's going to wait on those meals. And he's probably going to wait till he's starved to death, when he could have just walked on out, a free animal, you know, try to get some dignity about his life again, become king of beasts again. But he's going to stay there because he's become comfortable in his situation, even though his situation is slavery. Well, we've been like that. It's been like that recently. We're like that now. And we've been like that in the past. Look how many wanted to stay in Egypt, ancient Egypt, on the African continent. You know, when Moshe was leading them out, you had just as many saying, no, let's stay here. We want to stay with the onions and leeks and, you know, there's meat here, water here. You know, in other words, they're convenient. All the conveniences of life is here, even though they should have realized they wouldn't really live in life. They were just existing. A slave, basically, that's the bare, you're living on bare subsistence. You're not thriving. You're just existing. But they rather lived in that degraded condition than to be free men and women. Yah wanted them to be free. So we have brothers and sisters tonight. They'd rather be bound. They'd rather be bound by the neck and feet and arms and be comfortable in their bonds because of they're getting three meals a day because of the comfort of convenience. Oh, my great-grandmother was a Baptist. My grandmother, grandfather was a Baptist. My daddy and mama was a Baptist. I was born a Baptist. I'm going to die a Baptist, Methodist, Episcopal, whatever. And they feel that that comfort, that staying in that comfort zone is worth it. Even if it means they got their own course for hellfire. They don't want to hear anything. They don't want to hear truth. They don't want to research anything. They don't want to peek. With it. Yeah, they've been brainwashed and they're comfortable with it, Elder. So this is what we're called to do. We're called to walk right up in there, walk right down the aisles like we used to do when we're going there. But this time we're coming for a different cause. We're not coming to shout and dance and sing and get sweaty, you know, and go into some kind of, emotional, we come in with keys in our hands. We're freedom fighters. And whoever wants to be loosed can be set free. Whoever wants to be loosed. This goes for all the religions. Islam, Buddha, Hebrew Israelite. Yeah, like I keep saying, yes, there is a Hebrew Israelite religion. A lot of these people who have turned the awakening into a religion. And of course, we know all the awakening is not a religion. There's a lot of people who are living in their freedom, living in their enlightenment. But there's a lot of people who have made this into just another stinking religion. And it stinks because religion is dead. Has no life. When something dies and, decomposes, it stinks. They made it just another stinking religion full of man-made traditions and dogmas. So if you're in that situation and you call yourself an Israelite, you're no different from these Christians who are bound or people who are following Islam and we have some proud brothers who follow Islam, but all I'll say is just study. I'm not, we're not here to sugarcoat anything. Look at what the Catholic Church started. Yes, that's where your Islam doctrine come from. Well, it came from the devil. all of the religions came from the devil. You can go back to Babylon. We have these black Egyptologists they spout off Egypt. And I was, well, you know, that story about the Messiah and everything. They had Egyptians, in the Book of the Dead and, all that stuff. Man, okay, but they stopped there. They don't want to go way back to civilization before Egypt. Where did Egypt get all of their mysticism, all of their rituals and rites and everything? How did they start worshiping the sun and, had a pantheon of gods? That come from Babylon. No, it didn't start with Egypt. Everybody just want to stop at their little comfort zone. Just like the Christians are doing it. You got these brothers, dreadlocks, and spouting off black consciousness, but they just stop there. Stop at Egypt like everything started. That's the end all be all. No, it's not. They don't want to go back to Babylon. They're scared because then you have to pick up, scripture. Oh, scripture might be involved here now. Scripture mentions Herod and everything. They don't want to validate scripture. So they ignore it. They think if they ignore it, it'll go away. It's not true. No, sorry, my dreadlock brother, Mr. Egyptologist. Keep going. You want to talk about the Christian, but you're stopping at your comfort zone. Keep going. You say, well, what about you guys? You guys call yourself Israelites and we are keep going. I know that doesn't sound grammatically correct, but we are not stopping. We are walking in truth. We're truth walkers, truth seekers. And that's what the Father wants. He say the Ruach will lead you. He didn't say it's going to stop. He didn't say it's going to give you a little truth and it'll stop. He said it's going to lead you into all truth. Wherever the Ruach wants to take us, that's where we're willing to go. Scripture says, as many as are led by the Spirit of Yah, as many as are led by the Ruach, those are the sons of Yah. So who are the sons of Yah? Truth seekers, those who are seeking Yah in truth. Didn't he say the true worshipers will seek him, worship him in spirit and in truth? But we are not part of any religion. We're not part of this Hebrew Israelite religion. Israelite is just our nationality. It just denotes our nationality. It doesn't denote our religion because it can't. We don't have a religion. We have instruction. And above that, we have a relationship with our Almighty Creator through Yahushua HaMashiach. So, we're going to come. It's not going to answer everything in one night, but we're going to try to lay the foundation. And how this has come about, we've been hearing a lot about grace and grace and law, grace versus law. And, a lot of so-called Christian brothers, and I'm happy for it, but a lot of them have at least come to this much enlightenment that they know who we are. They know we are the children of Israel, the so-called Negro. They go by other names too. Yeah, some names more derogatory than that, but they know the descendants of slaves. We are indeed the children of Yah. We are the children of the book. We're the people of the book. So our Christian brothers, they looked at their charts and their pie graphs and everything, and they saw the attendance dwindling in those churches, in those mausoleums. And they said, wait a minute, I don't care about attendance, but that means my finances are doing well. That's all they care about. If attendance goes, my finance goes. So first they say, the old saying that you can't beat them, join them. So first they tried to beat them. you know, by saying, oh, this is of the devil, this is fake. You know, they're not Israelites, they're Gentiles. So they carried on the same, you know, same old message that the slave masters taught them. But that wasn't working. People would continue leaving in droves, just getting out of that. But I was so happy to see, you know, we're part of that movement. We got out of it. But I was so happy to see people just getting out of that religious mindset. If they didn't have a place to go, I'd just rather them, you know, just be non-religious. You know, I'm not saying one of them be an atheist. It's hard. I know some black people say they're atheists, but I don't believe there's really too many true atheists in heart. But those who identified as, you know, what they used to call as Negro, I don't believe there's too many true atheists. Yeah, you have some proud ones want to puff up and buck up against, you know, the word of truth and say they don't believe in all this. But I would like to see them at their deathbed and see if they're still as, you know, haughty. I'd like to see a black man, proud black man at his deathbed and see if he's still singing that tune about, you know, I'm just finna vanish off into nothingness. I'm just going to be like a puff of smoke. No, we're not wired like that. We had a message about a year back. We're wired different. You know, we want to be wired like everybody. We always want to be like everybody else, you know. But we're not. We're wired different. And even the so-called acknowledged atheists among our people, they're not the same breed as the atheists who are Gentile. Because they're wired different. So we're going to come in with some keys to set the captive free.
Mm-hmm.
This was a pretty long introduction, Elder, so I didn't even announce who I have with me tonight. I had my trusted partner, Elder Yael, with us tonight, and myself, Elder Yalaya. And we do have a scripture. We do have a foundational scripture. Let's go ahead and read that. I won't forget it. Okay. Grace versus law thing. The scripture reading comes out of Romans chapter 6. I'm going to read verse 1. Read a little verse 2, mm-hmm. too. Mainly verse 1 and just the first part of 2. So 1 and 2A. How about that? 2A
yeah.
opposed to 2B. You know, and this is important scripture because, you know, those who want to just do their thing and just live lawless, just like Yahushua will say, they're going to come to him that day and they're going to say, Master, our teacher, did we not do this in your name and do that in your name? Look at us. Look at our resume. Look, we even got witnesses. They saw what we did. He goes, say, depart from me, you lawless hypocrites. You are lawbreakers. You say, well, he didn't call them lawbreakers. He say workers of iniquity. You have iniquity. Iniquity is found in your heart. You know, that means that rebel spirit, iniquity. You are a rebeller. You are a rebeller. You are among Korah's people. You know, you're of his, if you're not his blood lineage, you're of his psychological lineage. You have the psychological DNA of Korah. You are a rebeller. And what did he say? He's going to purge the rebels from the camp. He's going to purge them out. He's going to destroy them. What is purge? What did he do to Korah in the game? He wiped them out. You know, you who not only are a lawbreaker, but you teach others to do so. He said, you're going to be called the least. So, Romans 6:1 says, Oh, and they always say, oh, man, well, Paul said this. Paul said, don't you keep no law. You're walking in sin if you keep the law. Paul said, we're not to live under the law no more. You're in bondage if you live under the law. Do your thing. You know, like those old songs say, if it feels good, do it. Do your thing. This is the time. Jesus came so we won't have to live under those strict rules no more. We can party and live it up and have all the sex and everything we want and go to heaven. Mm-hmm. That's what Jesus came for. Jesus came to set us free. Well, and they say Paul said it. That guy who they call Jesus, you know, our Mashiach is Yehoshua. He never said that. They say Paul said it. Okay. Wow, are they lying on, are they quoting Paul, right? Or are they, you know, like they say in courtroom sometime now, is it out of context? Or are they quoting him out of context? Let's see, here's some things that Paul said. I got some quotes from him. Romans 6:1. Okay, they say, don't keep the law anymore. Here we go. One more thing, Elder, we got to do.
Mm-hmm.
Before we go any further, this message would just would have no credibility. It would have no foundation, no legs to stand on if we do not do this one thing. We must define what sin is. And that's even before we even read this foundational scripture. You know, we usually read this at the start. But this is so important that we have to do this first. We have to define what sin is. Even before we read the foundational scripture, we have to. And for that, I'm going to go right into my online text. And that's found in 1 John, Elder. 1 John 3. I'm going to it now as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
1 John 3. Because this, talking about a foundation, this is the cornerstone. Okay, right here. This is the most pivotal stone of the house right here. We got to define what sin is. Everything that we say tonight from this moment forward and what was said earlier is standing on this truth. The definition of sin. Don't waver now.
Mm-hmm.
Scripture said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, don't waver. This is a sure foundation. We're going to define what sin is once and for all. And everything else is going to be built on top of that. For you lawbreakers, you say, that Paul said we don't have to sin no more. And we're going to do you all a favor, because most of you think not only the law is dead, you think the Old Testament is dead. So we're going to go to where you're at. We're going to go to the New Testament. We're in the New Testament, too. We love the New Testament. We love the whole script. But we know that you have a special affection for the so-called New Testament. So we're going to go there to get this foundational scripture. You have a little more credibility in your eyes. So let's go to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. This is going to be short and simple. What is sin? What is sin? I could read Merriam-Webster, all kind of collegiate, the Oxford Dictionary, I could read every day. But let's go right to the source. Go right to the source. Let's go right to the one who knows sin and who hates sin. That's Yah. Let's go right to his word. 1 John chapter 3. verse 4, for the definition of sin. It reads, whosoever committed sin transgresseth also the law. Now, don't miss these next 8 words. It's the biggest in our message tonight. This is it. It all falls down to the least common denominator, and that's the definition of sin. And it's defined in these 8 words. For sin is, it's not plural, it just is. It's not A-R-E, it's I-S. For sin is the transgression of the law. Oh, that's too simple. That's too simple. That's too short. I choose to believe what Yah says. You remember that old KISS? Keep it simple, stupid. Keep it simple. This is not rocket science. Sin is not maybe, not sometimes, but sin is the transgression of the law, says the New Testament. Says the New Testament. Sin is the transgression of the law. So why did you make such a big ado about that? Because we're going to read some things, and now you're going to have the proper context. See, this we might just scratch the surface tonight, Elder, but if we didn't do nothing else, if we don't do nothing else about the subject that we, you know, that we're starting upon, if we don't do nothing else, we did the most important thing tonight. This had to be defined. Because we could start doing all the, you know, lofty talk and theories and all this. It has to be based on something. This is the root. This is the foundation. This is the least common denominator. This is it. When you break it all down, when you reduce it down to the smallest fraction, this is it. The smallest particle is the definition of sin. Sin is the transgression of the law. What are they still doing talking about the law in the New Testament? Somebody tell me. Christian, why are they talking about the law in the New Testament? That don't apply to us. Didn't say it didn't apply. It just said what sin is. You can buck against it all you want, but sin still is what it is. Like they say, it is what it is. It ain't going to change. God doesn't change, and his words doesn't change. If words doesn't change, the definition is made up of words. His definitions doesn't change. Sin always has been the transgression of Yah's law. Okay. So we know sin is the transgression of the law. Now, Elder, with that foundational knowledge, now we could go to our scripture reading of the night. Keeping that in mind. So we could use these interchangeable now because one is the other. If I say sin, I mean the transgression of the law. If I say the transgression of the law, I mean sin. Vice versa. Mm-hmm. So we could interchange these now. If I give you 4 quarters, Elder, and you give me a dollar bill, they have the same amount of buying power. You know, you buy something that costs 99 cents, we could use the 4 quarters, you could use that paper dollar bill. They have the same value. You can use them interchangeably. So I could use sin or I could use transgression of the law. Either or. Okay. Here we go. Let's go to our scripture reading of the night. Yeah, I'm going to do something real good. I'm going to turn it over to you, Elder. Tired of hearing
okay.
me. Here we go.
Okay.
Foundational scripture of the night is found in Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Remember I said we're going to read verses 1 through 2a? Okay, here we go. Paul said sin, right? Paul said, live it up. Paul says, don't worry about the law. Paul says, the law can do nothing for you. That's good. It was just a schoolmaster. It's gone now. It's just an old, dusty schoolmaster that's just fit to be rolled up and thrown in the fire. So let's see. Did they take Paul out of context? Paul says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? And we're talking about grace, right? Paul say, what shall we say? Now, they're talking about grace. This big grace debate. Paul says, what shall we say about this subject of grace and law? Well, they said, we're under grace. Paul said, okay, you say we're under grace. So Paul said, what does that mean? He said, what shall we say? What are you saying? What are you really saying? Okay, so we're under grace. So what does that mean for your life? Paul said, what is all this? What shall we say about this? Does that mean we sin? Shall we continue in sin? Stop right there. Remember, they are interchangeable. Sin and what else are interchangeable? Transgression of the law.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Paul is saying, what shall we say then? Shall we transgress the law? Paul, we're not under the law. Paul, we're not under, we're under grace. Paul said, hold it. What are you saying? Okay, you're saying we're under grace. So what are you really saying? Are you saying we can transgress the law? That's what Paul is saying. He say, shall we continue to sin? Shall we continue to transgress the law? That grace may abound? Paul says, so this grace could ever be abounding in us? So we'd be covered under this grace? You know, that activates it, right? When you sin, it activates the grace, right? Or otherwise, grace is just lying dormant. Who needs grace if you ain't sinning? So, you know, they said, well, come on, Paul, we do a little sinning, then the grace would get poured out. Paul says, okay, so they say, Paul, if we break the law, grace will be poured out on us. We are activated by sinning, by transgressing the law, Paul. Paul said, okay, so shall we transgress the law that this grace can be activated? Now listen to his answer. He says, Yah forbid it. Yah forbid. Paul is saying no. Now, I got Paul on record. I heard a lot of things about Paul, but he's on record saying no. We shall not continue to transgress the law. He said, Yah forbid that we transgress the law. Yah forbid that we transgress the law. They say, well, keep on reading because you're trying to twist things. I'm going to keep reading. It says, how shall we that are dead to sin? In other words, who have repented from our iniquitous ways. I've been dead to sin, me, because what is sin? Transgressing the law. What did Yahshua tell the people who said, well, look what we did, Yahshua? He's going to say, depart from me, you that work iniquity. You're lawbreakers. You're a rebeller.
Mm-hmm.
You're a Korah.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't want to walking the laws that Yah gave to Moshe, you were a rebeller, Korah, and his ilk.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why he's talking about iniquity. He says, how shall we that are dead to sin, in other words, who have repented from our iniquitous ways, we repented from that life of law-breaking. He said, how can we live any longer like that? How can we live any longer therein? How can we live any longer in a rebellious state? Rebellious to what? To Yah's laws. How can we live any longer in a rebellious condition? Paul did not tell anyone to be a lawbreaker. To the contrary, he said, Yah forbid that any should transgress the law. That's our foundational reading for tonight, Elder.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, mm-hmm. We don't get nothing else accomplished. We got those two. What sin is, we know it's a transgression of law, and we're setting a record on straight on Paul, on Brother Shaul, because they said Brother Shaul just made it okay that everybody just live it up. And I don't Christians say, no, we're not talking about, you know, we could live it up. No, you're talking about you don't have to keep the law anymore. Well, the law's in our hearts. What laws? He said he's going to take those laws that he had. He's not making up new laws, and he's going to press them upon your heart. He's going to put those in his heart. That Ruach HaKodesh, that's why I say you're sealed with the Ruach. He sealed those laws in you. What kind of laws do you think? You think he just started changing up laws? He said, I change not. Didn't he say, I change not? So he said, well, are you going to put the laws? What laws? He's going to put his righteous laws in you. He's going to take those laws. They don't have to be written. It's what he's saying. They're not written in stone anymore. He took them and put them in your heart. Just like you make a Xerox copy of something. It might be on white paper. You took it and copied it and put it on green paper, fluorescent paper.
Mm-hmm.
He just took them and put them in your heart. And he gave you a spirit, so they're alive in you now.
Mm-hmm.
You learn to love them. You learn to love them. You learn to love those commandments, those laws. That's why he said in 1 John 5 and 3, he said, okay, well, what is the love of Yah? He said, the love of Yah is those who keep my laws, those who keep my commandments. That's loving me. All right, Elder.
Mm-hmm.
At least we got a foundation established. I'm going to turn it over to you. Might not come back, but like I say, this don't have to be a one-night thing. We got the foundation, and we got a whole lot because we got to say to our people because we got some keys, some very important keys. We're walking through the zoos tonight, and we're going to unlock these cages. But it's going to be up to you like that lion. It's not going to be up to you to walk out. If you want to stay in your comfort zone, wait for those three squares a day. That's up to you. That's between you and your maker.
That's right.
If you want to, you can get up and leave those cages. All right, Elder. Go ahead.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
Toda, Elder, for those great points that you just made, you know, because, again, you know, we are talking about grace. And we see so much of this just since sometimes we see it just being thrown around lightly, like it doesn't mean anything, you know, especially those that are out there that have not come to the knowledge of Yah, you know, they'll tell you right away, first thing they will tell you, we're under grace, we're not under the law, you know. And I guess something is missing about that understanding because when we read the scriptures, if we take our time and just really look at the word of Yah, because he told us, guard, my word, guard them. That means pay close attention to his words, you know, and that's what we need to do. And so when I look at the scriptures and I see, I can see some things that the people are making mistakes out here by, you know, jumping on that sort of philosophy. You know, we're under the law. We're not under the law. We're under grace. You know, that could be dangerous. You know, if you just want to insist on staying out there in that particular thought pattern in your head, because first, I just want to take a quick look at what it really means when it says when we're looking at grace. Okay, grace is an offering. It's an offering, a thing offered, especially as a gift or contribution. Okay, see, so this is what we want to keep in mind. You know, this is an offering from Yah, something that Yah is offering us, grace. Okay. And I just want to kind of look at some things here in Scripture, because, you know, we want to go by Scripture. We want to definitely stay with the Word. If I go to Numbers chapter 15, and I want to start at verse 22, because I think it's important that we realize the difference, you know, because some people, you know, really, they act like grace. Yah didn't have no grace for us until after Yahushua came, you know. But
right.
that's just, you know, that's something we want to just kind of touch on tonight, so that we can kind of hopefully we can get an understanding that that's not true. Because back in Numbers, okay, way back during the time of Moses, we can read here. We can read the scripture here. It tells us in verse 22, and when sin by mistake, when you sin by mistake, notice he said by mistake, that's what we got to understand, you see,
mm-hmm.
and do not, and do all these commands which Yah has commanded, has spoken to Moses, okay, all that Yah has commanded to you by the hand of Moshe, from the day Yah gave commands and onward throughout your generations, then it shall be, if it is done by mistake. Now, we want to keep that in mind, you know, because a mistake is something different from willfully, okay? We're going to see,
he's
going to tell us what happens. You know, he's going to break it down. He's going to tell us what happens when you willfully sin, you know. Willfully, after you have come to the knowledge of the truth, and we're going to look at that. But let's stay on this point right now first, because we definitely want to see how Yah's attitude is by those who just willfully sin. You know, do it defiantly. Don't think, you know,
hey,
it don't
Elder,
matter.
Elder, can you,
yeah,
Elder, can you give that scripture out again to the people? That's a very good scripture.
Okay. I'm reading from Numbers chapter 15, and of course I started with verse 22, okay, and as I move on right now, I'm rolling on down to verse 24. Okay, it says, "Then it shall be, if it is done by mistake, okay, without the knowledge of the congregation, that all the congregation shall prepare one young bull as an ascending offering, as a sweet fragrance to Yah, with his grain offering and his drink offering, according to the right ruling, and one male goat as a sin offering." So, you know, when we look at this, we can see that grace has abounded from the beginning, okay? Grace, because we see Yah's forgiveness is offering, okay, his special gift to those who sin by mistake. You see? He didn't just come down and just threw fire at you and cut you down when you done made an honest mistake. You see? Yah is Yah. He is our Father. And we got to realize that. You can't see Satan gets in the people's mind, in their head. And they get to looking at Satan so much, and they think that they, you know, they get it mixed up. Think they looking at Yah. Yah don't think like man, you know. His thoughts is above our thoughts. You see? So that's what we want to keep in mind. Okay, now verse 25 says, then the priest shall make atonement for all the congregation of the children of Israel, and it shall be forgiven them, for it is by mistake. You see, he will forgive us for our mistake. That's why he even told us, you know, there was one time in our ignorance, Yah himself winked on that, you know, because we
yes.
all have been in ignorance at one time. You know, we didn't. I didn't even know the. I didn't know the name of Yah at one time. You know,
that's
I was
right.
in ignorance. You see, and so, but Yah winked on that when I called on God, Jesus, so forth. He read my heart. Yah was looking to me, looking at my heart, and he understood that.
That's right.
You see, he knew that was a mistake, so he forgave me for it. You know, when I came to the knowledge, that's why he led me to the understanding of who he is and who I am, okay? And it goes on to here to say in verse 25, and they shall bring their offering, an offering made by fire to Yah, and their sin offering before Yah for their mistakes. Now he's making it clear for our mistakes. And it shall be forgiven all the congregation of the children of Israel and the stranger who sojourns in their midst. Because all the people did it by mistake, you see? So it put all of that will be forgiven us, you know, those mistakes that we make, honest mistakes. And
that's
if
right.
a being sins, if a being sins by mistake, then he shall bring a female goat a year old as a sin offering, you see? So in other words, we see the grace of Yah all the way through this book from the beginning, okay? We could see it. I don't want nobody to come running up to me and talk about, well, I'm under grace. No, we're not under the law. You know, that's just doesn't make no sense no more to me because I see the truth here in Yah's word. Okay? And the priest shall make atonement for the being who strays by mistake. When he sins by mistake before Yah to make atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. You see? Yah, all the way down from the congregation to the individual. Individual.
Yes.
Yah's forgiven. You know, he forgives. For him who does whatever, now, he's going to go to something different here. For him who does whatever by mistake, there is one law, one Torah, both for him who is native among the children of Israel and for the stranger who sojourns in their mistake. So there was one law,
mm-hmm.
one law. And like you said earlier, Yah don't change. He changes
That's
not.
Right.
You see? I believe Malachi 6:3 is somewhere along in there. You see, he doesn't change. And so this was established from the beginning, and it is still in force today. You know? No, we don't take bulls and cows and things and offer them like that for our sin offerings now, but we know the ultimate atonement, the person that atoned for our sin, we know is Yahushua, you see. He is our lamb slain from the beginning of the foundation of the world, you see, for the sin of all of us, you see. So you know, this is just to let you see how Yah has always offered or gave his grace to his people, you see, to the world, you know. Okay, so as we go on here, verse 30 says, but the being who does whatever defiantly, whether he is native or a stranger, he reviles Yah, and that being shall be cut off from among his people. You see that? So you just go
yes.
out there and just sin willfully, you see? That means you are reviling Yah. You disgust Yah. That's disgusting before Yah. Okay, and that's why he said that being will be cut off from among his people because he has despised the word of Yah and has broken his command that being shall certainly be cut off His crookedness is upon him. You see? So don't think we're going to just get out here and all of a sudden just get out there and do whatever we want to and just, you know, just fool ourselves, lie to ourselves, deceive ourselves that, oh, I'm not worried about the law because I'm under grace now. You see? So, you know, Yahushua himself said, I believe in Matthew 5:18, you know, till heaven and earth pass away. You see? No, there shall in no wise pass, not one tittle. Let me get to that. So let me read it so I can read it right, because people need to understand. First, chapter 5 of Matthew, verse 18, for truly I say to you, till the heaven and the earth pass away, one yod or one tittle shall by no means pass from the Torah or the law till all be done, you see? So Yahushua made it clear, too, that, you know, you can't go running out of here thinking you can do whatever you feel like doing, breaking the law or whatever, you know, walking on the Sabbath as though it doesn't exist, or just, you know, running yourself into Halloween and into Christmas, into Thanksgiving, into all of these pagan days, but yet you okay because you're under grace, you know.
Right.
But that doesn't work. You know, it just does not work. It's not where it didn't work then, and it never worked, and it will not ever work, you know. So that's what we got to realize and make up our mind so that we don't make the mistake that we see people are making out here, you know, being assumptuous, you know, assuming that they're going to be okay anyway, you see?
But you know what, Elder, they said Paul told them to do it, though.
Yeah, boy, I tell you what, you know, they can try to use it as an excuse, you know, but it won't fly on the day of judgment, I don't think, you know, because Yahushua said, you know, they're going to be probably the very ones that's going to be saying, didn't we do all of these good things in your name, Master, you know? And he'll probably turn around
right.
And look at them and say, you know, I never knew you. You worker of iniquity, you hypocrite. Get
and
out
you know
of
what,
my face.
You know what iniquity is? That beautiful text you just read out of Numbers 15, you start at 22, verse 22, and I like it at 31. It says, because he had despised the word of Yah and had broken his commandment. He's talking about the one who was sinning willfully, not the one ignorantly. He said why he'd be cut off from his people. It's telling why he'd be cut off from his people, because he had despised the word of Yah, that's the King James Version, and had broken his commandment. That soul shall utterly be cut off. Listen to this. His iniquity shall be upon him. See, his iniquity.
That's right.
What is iniquity? Breaking his Yah's law. That's
right.
His rebelling against Yah's law. His acts of unrighteousness. And what is unrighteousness? Breaking Yah's law. That is going
to
be upon him. That's why he is cut off from his people. That's why Yahushua is going to say, depart from me. Just like this guy says, you workers of iniquity. It says iniquity right here in King James, verse 31. That is what got him cut off. And that's what's going to get people cut off from the kingdom. Working iniquity. You think you are not under the law. You're living as if you're not under the law. That's why he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I don't care how much charity you gave, how big of a philanthropist you were. It doesn't matter. You are a worker of iniquity. You not only did it yourself, but you taught others to do so. So, hallelujah. Go ahead, Elder. I'm sorry. I wanted to interject that a little bit.
That's good, Elder. I'll tell you, because that's what we want to do is get this point over, make it plain, you know, so that it won't be no mistake, you know, no misunderstanding where we are coming from. Because they could see it right here written in the word of Yah. You know, this is not something that we are actually making up. This is written. That's why we read
Hallelujah.
It so that you can see, you know. Okay. And it goes on in verse 32, and while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. Now, you know that boy knew better. He knew better.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he was there in the wilderness with all the other family, I'll just put it that way, you know, how could he miss the fact that we are to remember the Sabbath day to keep it set apart? You see, he knew
right.
better. He's another one, you see. And let's see what his outcome will be, you know. It says, and those who found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses and to Aharon and to all the congregation. And they put him in under guard because it had not been declared what should be done to him, right? Okay. And
mm-hmm.
Yah said to Moses, the man shall certainly be put to death. Okay?
Mm.
To death. Yes. Breaking the Sabbath. That's how important it is. They, you know, and again, like I said, Yah has not changed. You walking out of here knowing that the seventh day is the Sabbath, and you're going to go out and do your own thing on the Sabbah? Yeah.
Mm.
Now, Yah said that man shall certainly be put to death. And it tells you all the congregation stoning him with stones outside the camp. And all the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him with stones as Yah commanded Moses. And he died. You see?
He died.
So this is what I'm saying. You see what I'm saying? So it is very important that we understand that. Don't assume. Don't just go around thinking, well, I'm under grace. Grace is I'm okay, man. I got grace, you know, on my side. You know, that's you better have the law. You better have God's word. Sealed. You know, you better be sealed by his laws.
Amazing grace, they say. Amazing grace.
Yeah, you know. And I'm saying to myself, you know, how long are you going to be walking around, you know, just being in just willful ignorance? You know, that's what it is, because I see people using that as an excuse not to, so that they won't, they feel that they don't have an obligation to keep the laws of Yah, you know, because
right.
they would use it as an excuse, you know, and think they justified by doing that, you see? So this is something, and that's why this brings me to Hebrews chapter 10, okay? See, Hebrews chapter 10, and let's start with verse 26, just to show you. Now, this is all we were just in the Old Testament, way back during the time of Moses, right? Now, we're going to move all the way up to the New Testament, even to Paul's writings, some of his stuff right here, okay?
Right.
So that we're going to make sure, you know, that we don't deceive ourselves and run around here and do things and allow ourselves to use this grace thing as an excuse, you know, because it will be sad if you come up on the day of judgment and you find yourself, you know, on the wrong side of the fence, you know. What I mean by
right.
that, Yahushua said, I'm going to gather them all together, and the sheep on my right and the goats on my left. So you better make sure.
Hey Elder,
you,
as they use in the as they've used in I've seen some movies, you know, they had these court cases, you know, they talk about criminals. They use this. They say, you don't want to find yourself on the wrong side of the law. You know, well, that's man's law. You know you have consequences for that, and you don't want to face those
mm-hmm.
consequences, a life in prison or maybe even capital punishment. But you
that's
certainly,
right.
you fear man's consequences. You certainly should fear if you're on the wrong side of Yah's law at the end of your life. You know.
That's right.
So,
yes.
And you can't look and say, well Yahushua, he did away with you. He told you point blank, I didn't come to do away with no law. And he
right.
gave you point blank an example of what he's going to say. If we already talked about iniquity, which you read in Numbers. He told you point blank what he's going to say about the rebels, those who rebel against the law and say there is no law. He says, I'm going to tell you to depart from me, you that work iniquity. He says, not only you do it, but you taught others to do it. You
That's
know?
Right.
So don't look for Yahushua to come to your aid when he never, never intended you to be a lawbreaker, intended his people to be lawbreakers. He did not shed his blood for us to go buck wild outside the law. And that's
right.
what people act like. They act like he shed his blood so we could just live it up.
Yeah.
Live it up.
Yeah.
You know,
Joshua
shed his blood. Now we could really do those things that we really want to do. You know, those things that's in our dark heart. We're not evil, but if we do those things, we still got an advocate. He's going to let us go. All we got to do is say, Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, forgive me. That's it. You play Monopoly. That's your equivalent to your get-out-of-jail-free card. You keep that in your back pocket when you're playing. You don't have to use it right away. Keep it, though. When you land on that wrong thing and say go to jail, you pull out that card. They think that's going to be their get-out-of-jail-free card. But he gave them a real-life example. He said, I'm going to say depart from me, you that work iniquity. You see, and it's going to be the same faith they had with this guy who broke the law. It showed what
That's
happened
right.
to him. You just read it. Go ahead, Elder. This is, hallelujah.
Yeah.
I told you we're just scratching the surface tonight. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah, because I was going to go ahead and read. I'll go ahead and read Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. And it goes on to read right here. For if we sin purposely after we have received the knowledge of the truth, okay, there no longer remains a slaughter offering for sin. In other words, there no longer remains that atonement that Yahushua made for us, okay? It's over. You just erased it. You just got rid of it. You just, gave it up yourself, you know? Because you close to sin, and you knew better, you know? Same thing with the guy out there gathering sticks and things on the Sabbath during the time when we were in the wilderness. You see? Same stuff. This guy knew better.
Hey, Elder. Remember when we got that definition, we say this is foundational to everything we're going to say tonight. And we define sin. Sin is transgression of the law. And we said those
That's
are
right.
interchangeable. The transgression of the law is sin, and sin is the transgression of the law. So if you don't mind, I would just like to read that beautiful scripture you just read, and I'm going to transpose it, and it's going to have the same value, just like those four quarters have the same value as that paper dollar bill. I'm going to read it. Hebrews 10:26. Okay,
And
this will put it in a more context for the people. It says, if we transgress Yah's law willfully, if we transgress, and this is the New Testament, if we transgress Yah's law willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, listen to what's going to happen, those who think Jesus is going to bail you out. It says, if we transgress Yah's law willfully after we learn the knowledge of the truth, there's no bailout. There remaineth no more sacrifice for our sins. but a fearful. Oh, I'll let you. I'll let you read the rest. Hallelujah.
Well, you gotta go get it right in, Elder, because it's the same thing written over here. You know, like you're about to say, but some fearsome anticipation of judgment and a fierce fire which is about to consume the opponents. You see? So
that's
this thing.
That sounds like the place those Christians went to when they were bragging to Yahushua and say, teacher, didn't we do this in your name or that in your name? He's going to say, depart from me, you lawbreakers, you workers of iniquity. Depart from me.
Right.
And you know where they were sentenced to? They were going to this fiery, fearsome looking place.
That's
judgment.
Right.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, they couldn't get it was you know, it's just to the point being at that point it's too late. You should have gotten it together before that day, that time came around. You know? It's just that simple. Because verse 29 says, anyone who has disregarded the law, the Torah of Moses, dies without compassion on the witness of two or three witnesses. Okay? There it is. You know, if you transgressed or, you know, disregarded the laws of Moses back then, death, you received a death sentence, you see? Especially if two or three people witnessed against you, you know, that's how it was established, by the mouth of two or three witnesses. Every word shall be established. Then he says, how much worse punishment do you think shall he deserve who has trampled the Son of Yah underfoot, counting the blood of the covenant by which he was set apart as common, and insulted the spirit of favor, has insulted the spirit of grace, right there. See, so you jump right around.
Grace.
Because you run around thinking they are covered by grace, and at the same time, they're insulting the grace that Yah has offered to them. You see, insulting the spirit of favor, of grace. So that's why we gotta be careful. We got to be careful about our life now. That's why he keeps saying, and I keep reading, and I keep paying attention to it. Guard these words. Guard them. In other words, pay close attention to them. Because it says in verse 30 here, for we know him who has said, vengeance is mine. I shall repay, says Yah. And again, Yah shall judge his people. You see that?
His people.
Yes. It is fearsome to fall into the hands of the living Yah. Have mercy.
Mm.
Man.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So
they say, don't even play around with this thing. Don't play around with it.
That's right.
You hear that false teaching? You hear that false teaching? You need to run out of that place. Now we're in the church altars right now. We're right up in the front, Elder. We done walked through the front door and walked right down the middle aisle. That people have stopped the music and drums have stopped. They just staring at us. We got the keys out. We put them in the keyhole, and we turned it and we swung open the cages, and all the you know the people in the pews are in the cages. Tell them you're free to go. I wonder how many are gonna go.
That's right.
Go ahead, Elder.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, we can just continue on this for the rest of this chapter. Just read it because it's very good. It explains some things to us. It gets our mind kind of open to, you know, what we need to be considering right now, what we need to be contemplating on, you know, because Because verse 32 says, but remember, remember. See, when he says remember, that's something that we got to not forget. The former days, remember those, when after you were enlightened, you endured a great struggle with sufferings. Okay? On the one hand, you were exposed to reproaches and pressures. And on the other hand, you became sharers with those who were so treated. For you sympathized with me in my chains, and you accepted with joy the seizure of your possessions, knowing that you have a better and a lasting possession for yourselves in the heavens. You see? And see, these are things that are happening to us now, because even right now here, and you know, we do things here, and we're dealing with other people, we're doing business with other people, you think they're okay, but just one little deviation, you could find that these people hate your guts. These Gentiles, they have a pure hatred for us, you know?
Pure
hatred. I know it. That's why I have to keep praying to Yah, because these bad boys around here, boy, if they can take from you in your face and use any little excuse, they will do it. Any little excuse.
That's right.
You've been doing business with these jokers for years, and you're thinking that you're okay, but you know, but you always, when you're doing business, especially with these Gentiles here, you know, things, little things, all the time that you're doing it with them, keep popping up. And you kind of know. You know what you're dealing with. You know you're dealing with the devil. You're doing business with somebody unrighteous. You really
right.
know that. Yeah, you know. And as soon as you try to stand up a little bit for yourself, you know, compromising so much, and but yet you decide, okay, I'm going to do a little, I'm going to push the issue a little bit, press for me a little bit more than I normally will get, because I know it's righteous for me to have this, you see. But I'm going to,
mm-hmm.
I'm just going to be a little lenient, you know. Little lenient. As soon as you even try to get a little extra dollar, I'm telling you something, that's when the pure, unadulterated hatred, you find it. It will pop right out at you right then from those Gentiles.
Mm.
That's why I know we're living in the land of our, we're in the land of our enemies. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
You know, we're talking about enemies that will have that hatred that they can't never get up off it. They can't never let it go because it's in their DNA.
You know,
that,
mm-hmm. Some of them don't even know where it comes from. They just say, I don't know where it comes from. I was born with it.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
that hatred they have for it.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them don't even know they got it. They swear that they, I love everybody. I don't look at color. Yeah, right.
Yeah, just as soon as the
just,
first
just
come along.
Just have your son try to marry their daughter and see. No, it's a whole bunch of tests. You know, it's a whole bunch of truth tests and, you know, the circumstances that they go through that they could. If they're honest with themselves, they could see the see the hatred.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we're not saying none. You know, we're not saying no Gentiles are going to make it into the kingdom or nothing like that. But you're speaking facts. The Bible did say he called it like it was say we're in the land of our enemies. It denotes them as our enemies. You know, and it says they will have no regard for the young or the old. And all in between.
Right.
I mean, they kill all the. We done said it. You know, cops arrest an old 80-something-year-old woman, got her down the ground, handcuffing her like she's a strapping, you know, athlete or something. And a young boy, 12 years old, playing in the park by himself. Cop rolled up on him less than 2 seconds, pulled out the gun, blew the boy away. You know. They are right. I think around, you know, in I don't know what state it was. I think it was in Ohio or something. But Tamar Rice, everybody knows, well documented. You have no regard for the young or the old. Like you say, it's just a perpetual hatred, you know. Go ahead, El.
Yeah. So that's what we got to be aware of and make sure that we don't forget these things because, that's just the way it is, and it's going to take Yah, you know, because I know the world hates us because we are chosen by Yah, you see? And so that's just too bad because Yah did the choosing. He decided who was going to be his, but he also, he's grateful because he opened up the doors for them to have a chance too, you see? So, you know, everybody have the opportunity. It's just, are you going to be willing to take the advantage of this opportunity that has been laid before you? Okay? Do not then lose your boldness, which has great reward. But you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the desire of Yah, you receive the promise. Okay? Because he says, for yet a little while, he who is coming shall come and shall not delay. See? But the righteous shall live by belief. But if anyone draws back, here we go. Anyone draws back, my being has no pleasure in him. Okay? But we are not of those who draw back to destruction, but of belief to the preservation of life. You see? That's who we are. We're not of those that draw back. Hallelujah. So that's the end of this chapter here. And hallelujah. I've been blessed with what we have read.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Elder, you know. Oh, go ahead, Elder.
Go ahead.
Well, I was thinking this message is so powerful. It's breaking yoke. The anointing breaks the yoke. This message is breaking yoke. Yes, the keys are the anointing. It's setting the captive free. And I don't think a message like this it does justice to it if we, you know, try to spoon feed too much. I believe, you know, we got to give them some time to digest, you know, what was taken, what they partook of tonight. And I do want to give them a little hint about what's coming up. You know, and we kind of stumbled over it in a way. Jesus, you know, cover me, you know, I'm great, you know, I don't believe in no law, I'm great. Some have really got that cemented into their minds, into their psyches, that not only Yehoshua is far law breaking, you know, that, you know, he's the author of law breaking. And that would be utter confusion. You know, they say Yah is not the art of confusion, you know, but of peace. Now, not only have they convinced themselves that he ushered in the law breaking with his shed blood, with his death, burial, and resurrection, he ushered in the age of law breaking, you know, somehow. That was weird. Yah sent him from heaven to usher in the era, the age of law breaking. Okay. All right. Think on that. But they've convinced themselves that the age of grace means they're sealed. And not sealed in a bad way. They're sealed in a good way. That, you know, they're on their way to the kingdom. Well, you know, they say heaven. To the kingdom. Regardless of the lifestyle. Now, because of this one thing, grace. Now, what we want to get into And I believe the next program, y'all willing, we're gonna pull the skirt up. We're gonna pull the skirt up like y'all have mentioned throughout the Old Testament, you know, when he revealed our sins, Israel's people. We're going to pull the skirt up on that doctrine. Okay, you think you're Jesus, you know, like you're wearing a waterproof garment. You think it's going to keep you from the rainstorm, that you're not going to get wet. Okay, you're going to see how false that is. Our Mashiach, what you call your Lord and Savior, our Mashiach does not cover iniquitous rebels. He does cover, and that's why I'm so glad the Ruach led you to that script, those scriptures in the book of Numbers, Elder. That was a beautiful foundational layout to what we're going to talk. You know, we got to go back to the New Testament because they're going to say it was not credible. So we're going to balance it out, precept upon precept. We're going to balance it out in they call it the New Testament, and we're going to show them, yes, the Mashiach, his blood does cover. That's true. But you may not understand who his blood covers. It covers, it's a select few. Now, you go to a good insurance company, a reputable insurance company like Allstate or State Farm or Triple A, they cover people, but they don't cover everybody. If you're not a subscriber in good standing with them, they don't cover just the everybody who has an automobile. You're not covered. That's you're true. Not a policy holder. You're not a member. You can't run into somebody's car and smash it to pieces and think you're going to get your car fixed or even somebody run into you. And you're uninsured? No. It doesn't work like that. You got to be a policy holder. You got to be in good standing. You know, when I say good standing, you got to be paying your bills every month. You can't just join them in April, and then here it is in November, and you ain't paid one bill since you started. You might have paid that one initial payment, and you ain't paid nothing. No, it don't work like that. When you had that wreck, you're gonna go to try to file a claim, and they say, "Oh, your policy was dropped months ago. Why was it dropped? You haven't paid anything. You're not a member of good standing."
That's right.
So, but the only thing, this is not about money. You're gonna find out that what the Mashiach's blood does cover is those insurance subscribers. In other words, the people, the righteous, the elect, who are good standing, who's walking in righteousness, who's walking, as you're going to see in the New Testament term, walking in the light, walking in his righteousness. Righteousness, the light is truth. Walking in his righteousness. And he says, if you do that, he say, if, and you're going to hear the conditional phrases. This is not going to be elementary. You're going to college level. You're going to hear the specific conditional phrases. Yes, yeah, it's conditional. You know, if the grace is free, it could be free, but it's conditional. You want that coverage. You know, you want full coverage. You want liability. You want that full coverage. It says, if, it's going to use the if-then statement. You're going to see it's going to say, if you do this, if you're living like this, if you are obeying, then the blood of Mashiach. It didn't say it covers everybody. It's a if. If you do this, then the blood of Mashiach, which you call that grace, then the blood of Mashiach covers us from sin. Covers up with, you know, what you're reading, that transgression of the law. Covers our mistake, you know. Not you willfully go out here and, you know, you done thought about raping this person or molesting this little boy. You done plotted, peeped out their house and everything. You've been planning this for weeks, and you care about it. And now you're caught and going to prison. You say, oh, it's time to call on Jesus now. No, no, it's not. No, it's talking about if you are a righteous person walking in righteousness, you walking in his laws, you're not a rebeller of his laws. You don't have the DNA of Korah. You are walking in his righteousness. It's say, if you walk in this way, then his blood covers you. And we're going to just go through it methodically. And that's what we're going to be doing next week, Elder, if y'all willing, you know. And I feel really good about it. And we're going to break this down because this is, you know, we're talking about the curses. This is one of the foundational curses, you know, the shackles of the slave master's religion upon the minds and spirits of our people. It's time to set the captive free. You know, all this great stuff. Look who benefits from it, really. It's the leader. It's the people who are placed in leaderships of this demonic teaching, this demonic religion. They're the benefactors of this for a season because they have their day, too. They're usually the financial benefactors of this. You look at the one who is teaching, propagating this stuff, the leaders, the bishops, the elders, you know, now you got the online audience, so the people online teaching this dogma, you know, the so-called teachers online and everything. And now you got the crossover people, you got the Christians who are now claiming that we're the Israelites, and they're true about that, but they're hanging on to their Christianity, the part that financially benefits them. You know, they're telling people that they don't have to keep the law, but you're an Israelite anyway. Well, yeah, you're an Israelite by nationality, but that don't mean you're going to be a citizen of his eternal kingdom, you know, of the Most High's eternal kingdom. No, you're going to, it always talks about outside the camp, but you're going to be outside the camp. You know, we're going to clear this up about this grace and with the blood of our precious Mashiach, this precious blood, what does it actually cover? When you go to Allstate and you sit down and you buy a new insurance policy, read the fine print. What does it actually cover? What are the stipulations? What are the terms? You know, what are the conditions? Well, y'all has conditions. We're going to get into that. It's become a free fall. All this false doctrine. Everybody coming. The more the merrier. When the scripture says broad is the way, you know, wide, broad, that leads to destruction. Mm-hmm. It's a narrow, straight way that leads to eternal life. Don't get twisted. Don't get it flipped around. We're going to clarify all this. Step by step, line up on line, precept upon precept. Hallelujah. That's about all I got for tonight, Elder. I'll let you have the last words.
All right.
But
all
I'll just tell them that. Okay. Stay tuned for next week. That's what I got to say.
That's right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I tell you, Elder, I think we've said enough for tonight to be good for the listeners. And we just pray that y'all will bless all of those who have been listening and who will be listening to the messages, to the programs that we do. And with that being said, I guess we're going to go ahead and close it on out. I want to close it with a set apart musical tune. And I just want to let everybody know that it's in the room. If you've got any comments you want to make, feel free to press 1 on your phone. And we'll bring you on in and let you ask the question or comment on some of the things that you might hear us speak on. Okay? So, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So,
hallelujah.
That being said,
good night, family. Shalom.
Yeah, shalom, shalom, shalom. All right.
I want to be y'all's reflection. Each day I gotta stand for the test. And a lot of fruit of the spirit to manifest.
about the lake.
Think about that.
Them demons must shake. Let's get perfect starting today.
Hallelujah. Beautiful.
Hallelujah.
Well, good night, family. We hope you join us next week. You can't miss it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.